Hello and welcome to the Periodic Fable, the podcast where we take a dive into the world of chemistry with me, Harlan Wheatley.
And me, Cameron Day.
And me, Bryony Parker.
We have a new partner, Cameron. It's great. And for any astute listeners listening to our podcast, you will hear that voice and you may recognise it because Bryony has very kindly agreed to join Cameron and I in the podcast. And Bryony, we're very excited to have you on the podcast.
I'm very excited too. Thank you for having me.
No, hey, we're excited to have you. And yeah, it's been a while since we've done a podcast. I nearly forgot what I had to say on the intro.
Yeah, we're back in the saddle. It does feel strange, but it feels very nice to be cracking on and do it again.
It feels really nice. I mean, I'm recording from my home in the UK now, which is...
You're back.
Immensely exciting. Yeah, I've been back now 6 months, which is kind of mental, but it's great to be back. And hey, Bryony, I just want to say again, it's really exciting to have you on the podcast. So I think, you know, what might be nice is for some of our listeners to hear a little bit about you and about why you've decided to help Cameron and I and why you've agreed to come on for your sins.
Sure. So yeah, as you mentioned, I've been on the podcast before, in a different way this time, but last time I've been on the podcast as a guest, as a member of staff from the SCI, so the Society of Chemical Industry. So my job at SCI is to coordinate some of our early career activities, and I work closely with industry. So my role on the, or the, my part on the podcast last time was to talk a bit about that. So that's how I met you both. And yeah, I'm really excited to join you on this venture and see where the podcast goes together. So just a bit more of a background on me. So I'm a chemist. I studied chemistry at the University of Sheffield, and my kind of interest in science started when I was really young. I was fascinated by space, chemistry. I think an early inspiration for me was Hermione Granger doing all her potions, and I think I looked a bit like her, so I wanted to be her. And I couldn't be a witch, so instead I became a chemist. And at uni, well, actually at school, I had a teacher who taught chemistry, who was really inspiring. She was a great role model, and she really inspired me to take chemistry at university. So yeah, I was thinking about taking science. I wasn't sure which science, so biology or chemistry or physics. And I actually had to take chemistry in order to do one of the other sciences. So as you all know, chemistry is a central science. So I had to take that, and ended up loving it more than the other two. So that's where my chemistry journey started. And I went to the University of Sheffield, and I had a great experience there. I got to do a master's as well in polymer chemistry. So I've always been interested in polymers, and finally got to do some research in that area at Sheffield. And then I got my job at SCI when I graduated. So I'm a performer as well. I like to do some performing arts. I sing, do lots of musical theatre. So I wanted to kind of mash together my chemistry background with my performance background and go into science communication. So I'm very excited to now be joining the podcast. This is something that I've wanted to do for a long time, be part of a podcast. And a chemistry podcast is even better. So yeah, so this is very suited to me. What else can I say? I think one of the things that I also really am passionate about is inspiring the younger generation. So I've done volunteering before with sort of school children, talking about chemistry, why it's fascinating. And it wasn't until I was sort of really inspired to take it at A-level that I decided to go down that route. But I think often a lot of students, especially girls, can be put off by it. It might look too hard, but it's a fascinating subject, and I really want to kind of show how fascinating it is and show that it can be hard, but it's also really rewarding and exciting as well. So that's kind of my passion. And I read something the other day that said 35% of higher education students studying towards a STEM degree in the UK are female, so certainly there's some work to do there. And if I can contribute to that in some way, then that would be great.
Wonderful. Yeah, as Hallam said, we're super excited to have you on the podcast because of your breadth of experience and your passion for STEM, which I know is something we're keen to do more of. Definitely want to delve a little bit more into your passions in musical theatre, because I know that's something you do inside that and the STEM. But you mentioned earlier about, so your passion in chemistry, and it originally started with Hermione Granger, and then mm-hmm. and then doing chemistry at school. But then in your masters, you did work on polymer chemistry, and you said you got a paper published as well. What was that around?
So that's looking at raft polymerization, and I synthesized nanospheres in mineral oil, polystyrene methacrylate with polybenzyl methacrylate, so diblock copolymer nanoparticles in mineral oil. And I think there were some really interesting end applications with kind of engine oil with that. But my particular project was looking at pushing the boundaries of that. So for anyone that knows kind of about polymers, the kind of stabilizing unit, the polystyrene methacrylate, you kind of have a degree of polymerization. So the second block is stabilized by the first block, and you can extend the second block as far as you can. And I kind of wanted to push the limits of that. So that was my project, in seeing how big we could get these spheres. So the longer the polymer, the bigger the sphere. And so I was looking at pushing those, the upper limits. So reaching really, really high DPs into the thousands, which was pretty cool. And looking at how they stabilize at those high DPs. So yeah, it was really interesting, really loved it. And I just love the independence of working in a lab, and, you know, having my own fume hood and putting the experiments on, and the next day coming in and seeing what they look like, and then comparing them all together and seeing that some were just looked really separated and horrible, and then others were really nice kind of cloudy mixtures that showed that it was still stable. And it was a successful experiment. So yeah, it was really cool. And some fruitful results there. So that was the paper that came a few years later, once I started working at SCI. So it was a real nice surprise to, so I worked with Steve Arms on that, and very exciting to have done that.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Polymer chemistry to me petrifies me. To me, chemistry stops at benzene. It stops at C6 any more than that. I want nothing to do with it. But yeah, that's just me and my limited chemistry knowledge. But no, it's fantastic. And I think, obviously, we've sat down, you know, prior to any recordings, and we've talked about what we want to do with the podcast this year. And I think, touching on the school stuff and touching on those pieces, I think that's a really important, discussion for the chat. And I think it would be great, you know, just to talk to you both about what the plans are for the upcoming podcast. We've got quite a few planned over the next few weeks, which is very exciting. So yeah, I mean, I don't want to spoil a surprise, but I'm happy to let you two share with some of our guests what we've got planned. And it's going to be busy.
Yeah, it's going from 0 to 100, isn't it? Pretty soon. So I'll kick off with the first thing that we've got planned, which is our interactions and relationship with the folks at Chem UK. So I think the biggest chemicals conference in the UK that kicked off a few years ago.
It
They're
is
doing maybe the first one after COVID, or the first one since last year. And we're doing some more work with them. We're going to do some podcasts before and after the conference, but actually this time we're going to make it to the conference, because we've managed to fit it in all of our busy schedules, which is very exciting. So we've got a floor presence there, where we're going to interview guests during the conference, and we are planning a panel session too. I actually don't know where the panel is. It'd be good if I'd had this planned beforehand, but we have a slot somewhere within the timetable.
I think it's stage four. I'm going to say stage four. That's what's in my head. Yeah. So the fact that there's four stages, well, there's actually five, tells you how big the conference is. So
yeah.
But we've got Ian coming onto this podcast later on to talk to us about Chem UK, which is going to be exciting. So
he can tell all.
He can, and he will. So yeah, and Bryony, on the school stuff, we've got a bit planned on that, don't we?
Yes, we do. I'm very excited by this. So we are going to go to a school in Darlington, and I think the plan is to interview students from all different years, so starting with year 7 all the way through to sixth form or year 12 and 13, to ask them about science, what their thoughts are. And hopefully we'll get some really interesting thoughts. And I think one of the most exciting things for me about volunteering in this way is you kind of learn something from school children as well, and kind of gives you another perspective and an insight into how they think. And I think just looking back to when I was at school, and you know, there were things like gifted and talented, and I thought, if I don't get that, what does that mean, and why am I not involved in that? And you know, it didn't affect me, but I think at the time I thought, oh, why am I not in that? And you know, actually chemistry is really cool and interesting, and I might not be getting the top marks, but it's still, you know, it's still a career I've pursued and a degree I have. So I'm really looking forward to chatting to them and hopefully inspiring them. I think we can do that. I think we can encourage them to take science, or at least appreciate it. I think that's an important thing, because not only do we want to encourage people to go into STEM, but also kind of wider public engagement and inspiring the public as well to appreciate science and its power and its value to society as well. So yeah
no, mm-hmm. I can't agree more. I think it's a really important one, and the reason that we've picked the school in Darlington that we're going to go to is because, I mean, I know there's a lot of schools like it, but it's a year seven right through to the end of college, kind of all linked in the same school. They kind of mingle as school as well, so it's a great kind of place to go and showcase how that love or passion for science or understanding of being taught science changes from kind of being 11 to being 18. I think it's a really important dynamic. It's going to be great to speak to the teachers as well. I think that's something that hopefully we can do, because I think, you know, ultimately there's a lot of pressure on teachers, and one of those pressures is kind of, you know, understanding what you're being taught and kind of showcasing that passion for a subject. And mm-hmm. you know, I was very fortunate that I had several brilliant science teachers whom without I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. So it's going to be really interesting to see if those relationships are happening in schools and you know, what the dynamics looks like, but also kind of how an appreciation for science or specifically chemistry changes from an 11-year-old to an 18-year-old. So it's it's certainly going to be very interesting, and I'm very excited to see it. So
yeah, the amount of people that we get on the podcast and say, oh yeah, it was my teacher that inspired me to go and pursue a career in it.
Exactly.
And if kids don't have that these days, or if teachers are too pressured to inspire that, or then don't have it within their discipline, then that's a big problem, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Something that I picked up on a couple of weeks back, our manager brought his son into the office to show him around the plant and give him a feeling for what it's like at a chemical company, because he's doing, I think he wants to do chemistry, he's in his first year of college. And I was just having a chat with him, and he was saying that he was asking me if he knows any schools that do school trips with chemistry. He was saying that the kids in their school that did physics got to go on a school trip to CERN.
I mean, that's cool.
And I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. And I think he was saying there was trips for biology as well, but it's like, yeah, there's nothing going on with chemistry. There's no, you know, nothing planned to inspire classes and show them how cool chemistry can be. So yeah, I said that. I was like, wow, that's a real life thing that I've not come across many things where, you know, people are saying that, oh, chemistry isn't that exciting. We hear things about people not going into school, but to actually hear someone that's within there being like, oh yeah, I like it, but there's not much exciting going on inspiration wise.
Yeah, it's really interesting because it never happened. I never had it. I mean, our school.
No.
I always joke, my brother, I'm a twin, so he got to go to Iceland and I went to Beamish, which is like a historical town museum about 15 minutes down the road. And that was kind of about the excitement of the trips that I got to go on, which was hell.
Wow.
But yeah, I think that's it's a really important point, isn't it? You see very little external support when it comes to chemistry, and it's not perceived as an exciting subject in that sense. So hopefully us three going into a school and college will show that chemists don't always look like you see them in films, and that, you know, we've all had very varied careers. And I think that for me is the ultimate PC. You know, you Google what chemists can do, and it's, you know, you can work in a lab. And then it's kind of like, oh, great, then what? And it doesn't really tell you. So it's kind of something that we need to showcase, that the careers and variation in careers, you know, we're all about the same age and we all have very different career paths. But the common denominator is we've all got a chemistry degree. You two, you know, decided to go on and do your master's, which, you know, rather fool you. But yeah, I stopped. I had enough. But it's been very invaluable to me. So, yeah. Perfect. So I think we've got Ian Worthing, so I think we should bring him in and let's listen about ChemUK, because like you say, we're going to ChemUK in, I believe it's the 10th of May, we'll be there.
It's very shortly, isn't it?
We'll be inviting lot of people walking around to come and chat with us. So the podcast from that, I'm very excited to put together. It's going to be a lot of editing, but B, listen to, because there's going to be a lot of insightful, short format views, which is going to be really exciting. So, Brill. Right, I'll bring Ian in. So it's great to have Ian Stone joining us on the podcast. Ian is the founder and conference director of ChemUK. And as we've just discussed, myself, Cameron and Bryony, we're going to be at the conference, recording from there, talking to lots of interesting guests. But who better to tell our audience about the conference than the founder of the conference itself? So Ian, thank you very much for coming on. I hope you are well. Yeah, we're really excited to be part of ChemUK, and it'd be great if you could just tell the audience about, you know, what ChemUK is and why you set it up, really.
Okay. Well, first of all, great to be. Thank you for the invite, and you know, really nice to have the opportunity to contribute, and also nice to be working with, obviously, the Periodic Fable team as a really important partner to us in terms of our overall industry and event coverage. So thank you to you guys for obviously all the tremendous work that you're doing. So ChemUK, well, it really was a question of a void waiting to be filled, because the UK chemical industries, being one of the major foundation industries of the UK, was hugely underrepresented in terms of as a high value networking platform to merge all the various intersecting, interconnecting, and interdependent parts of those industries, and I recognize that if we were to host an event that was able to bring together the principal industrial chemical, fine specialty chemical, together with the downstream formulated product, and the major chemical dependent and chemical user industries together into a powerful integrated experience over 2 days, so they're all there in the same time and space, that would provide a really high value networking and information and cross fertilization environment. And you know, sometimes you've in events you've kind of got to go with your gut a little bit, because you often can't really validate ideas. You think it's the right thing to do, and you think you're going to get industry groups to rally around that. So when we set off, we were first of all delighted that we had the immediate support and encouragement of some of the major bodies right from the outset, and I think that immediately said to us, right, we're on the right track here. They like what we're doing. They like the fact that we can provide a channel whereby all of those siloed, highly specialty groups that are all, of course, doing tremendous work with their own memberships and their own, you know, highly specialized groupings throughout the year, have an opportunity to disseminate that knowledge pool beyond their traditional boundaries, and get the benefit of cross percolating with obviously like-minded peer groups across the wider chemical and industrial biotech and process and pharma industries. And that really is, I think, the essence of when we bring together a conference. It's all about that dissemination opportunity outside of the traditional ranks. And I'll give you some very good examples of that. If you take a look at some of the major panel sessions which are being hosted this year, I mean, the conference this year has a a very substantial cross section of panels, and they are not just hosted by the leading professional bodies, but also by a number of bodies which have specialization in key downstream sectors. And when I look at that, I see that we are tapping into. For instance, if you take, say, the adhesives and sealants community represented by Barza, of course, they have a very, very tightly knit membership and are doing a lot of activity within their own ranks. But at Chem UK, they have the chance to host a session this year on packaging adhesives, really talking about the challenges of packaging and food contact regulation on adhesives manufacturers. They're doing another one which is looking at the broad challenges facing the construction adhesives and sealants. Now, that's not only useful for those supply chain partners who are already involved in those industries, but the important thing is being able to look over the shoulder of how those very discrete downstream groups are adapting to change, to changing and challenging market and regulatory requirements. There's lessons to be learned, and this is, I think, where Chem UK plays a really important role, that it is that very deliberate intersection point where we have highly specialized contributions coming in from all of the various key components, but they are offering that input with very much sharing and wider dissemination in mind, so that the intelligence, the fact finding, the experience takes attendees way beyond what they would normally able to source in terms of information flow, and gives them that bigger perspective on where the industry is en masse, and that's also important. So I hope that kind of gives a little flavor of kind of the initial thinking and how that's kind of now being reflected in some of the kind of ongoing structure in terms of contributions from some of the bigger session hosts.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Ian. And what is it that's like particularly making you excited about this year's conference? Like, what's like the key themes that you can't wait to see unfurl?
Well, I mean, the hot ones are always going to be that transition towards sustainable net zero industry. Yep. You know, it's the elephant in the room for everyone. And however, but you know, the exciting thing I think about Chem UK is that we're able to work with both hats on, in the sense that we are dealing with traditional petrochemistry, looking at and working with partners who are talking about those really, really crucial decarbonization, emission reduction, energy and resource efficiency, process intensification, things that are mitigating carbon emissions, but accepting the fact that it's still within the context of a largely petrochemical based scenario. That said, we are also giving equal opportunities for all sides of the evolving industrial biotech and green chemistry and new bioprocess innovators to give them the opportunity to talk about absolutely groundbreaking innovation streams that are coming through. And it's important also to have the innovation and kind of support ecosystems involved in the event, so you can talk about the other elephant in the room, which is how do you scale up and empower those companies to ultimately commercialize. That will be discussed not only within the major programs that are being presented by, say, Innovate UK KTN, who have a major footprint, but also we have a video address which is scheduled by George Freeman, Minister for Science, Innovation, Technology, to which will kickstart the day one government briefing, where you have three major departments. I mean, Whitehall has really joined up together to really do a major three-way sector briefing and Q&A on day one. So I think if you're saying, you know, what's the thing that I most like to see, I like to see the fact that we are being incredibly practical and responsive to the current operational realities of how the chemical industry is currently operating and will continue largely to operate for many years to come. At the same time, we are encouraging and providing platforms for those transitioning technologies and processes that will, in the fullness of time, obviously reach commercial and market readiness to obviously have a significantly larger role. So that's a key thing. Also, in terms of exciting things, we have this year our first, should we call it Dragon's Den, which is being hosted by BioVail. Now, obviously, I know you guys obviously are familiar with the earlier shows where BioVail gave an opportunity for a number of breakthrough bio-innovators to talk about their innovations, but this year we've done it in a much more sort of valuable way for both sides, which is that we have a bioeconomy pitch event which will take place at the end of day one. It will feature six selected innovators that will be doing very compact pitches in front of a panel of judges, and that panel of judges is drawn both from industry as well as from the capital, venture capital community, and that's sponsored as well. So we hope that will be something which then we can build in as a regular feature, because we know that attendees love that format. It's a very kind of tried and tested. So yeah, it should be a fun session, as well as obviously an incredibly informative, tons of questions, and within the space of 90 minutes, so it's 3 o'clock until 4:30, we'll give a really good illustration of some of the most exciting bio-innovations coming downstream, and also will give an indication in terms of the big questions that are being asked at the moment to these innovators.
No, that's amazing, Ian, and thank you again very much for coming on. I think you know, we're all excited about being there, and I think a testament to any conference is you know, attendance growing year on year, which I think shows that, you know, ChemUK is hitting its mark, and hopefully the conversations that are had are always you know, lead to that next piece of innovation. And I think, you know, certainly from my perspective, I'm excited to kind of really dive into the knowledge of some of the people that are going to be there, and that's what we're doing as the podcast, but also on the stage five. I've just seen at day one the 4 o'clock session that we'll be hosting, kind of asking about if we can raise aspirations to help deliver net zero. That's something that we're very excited to lead on.
Absolutely, and it's great to have that. And again, that's going to be a really interesting feature this year, and obviously, hopefully, something that then we can build that in, hardwire it in terms of a really innovative featurette within the overall complexion. But the pre-registration levels are way up on where they've been in the past. So we are fingers crossed for a really lively, very intensive 2 days with a really high quality attendance from all sides of the industry. So yeah. Obviously looking forward to seeing industry colleagues from all sides of the sector there in full in a few days' time.
Fantastic. We can't wait to be there.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, look, thank you for all your time.
Thank you.
Yeah, cheers.
Thank you very much for coming on, Ian. Yeah, we very much appreciate it.
My pleasure.
You.